Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show on this Wednesday, January 19th. Great to have you with us. We've got a lot to talk to you about today. The Biden presidency in free fall in terms of the poll numbers. Biden not able to get a grip on things, it seems. He's going to have a press conference this afternoon, I think, unfortunately, after our show. So we won't be able to bring it to you live or bring you our immediate reaction, because Clay and I would have a lot of fun with it, kind of like Mystery Science Theater back in the day. We could jump in and out of the press conference one day. But here we are with a Biden regime that seems not just out of its depth, but intransigent, unwilling to adjust to the new information. Let me just give you a quick sense of some of the places we're going to go today. First of all, you have that horrific story out of Los Angeles where a young woman was stabbed to death by a career criminal. Brianna Kupfer, just murdered in a totally random, senseless, horrific crime by a career criminal in a city that has a DA who bends over backwards. He's a lib, of course, bends over backwards. This is Gascon, doing everything he can to not punish criminals very severely. Clay and I'll talk to you about the criminal justice realities of America over the course of the show today, and how, where's Biden on this? Well, why not give a speech? Why not give a speech where he actually discusses how he's going to have federal law enforcement working with local law enforcement to take violent crime down, to take the bad guys off the streets, and to tell DAs to punish them? No, no. Instead, what we're going to have today is a push for voting rights, which, even using that term, it's not voting rights. It's tilting the scale toward Democrats in elections, because you know what matters to them more than inflation, skyrocketing crime, a porous southern border, the most illegal immigration we've had in memory. You know what matters to them more than all these things and a weak economy and the Omicron surge that has made a mockery of Fauciism? Staying in power. Nothing matters to them more, Clay, than staying in power. And this is where I think we have to not overestimate the abilities of the other side strategically. They know that they have nothing really to stand on right now. And so it seems to me like, because they know they can't actually win in a contest coming up of the American people casting their votes in the midterms, the plan is just to, and I think it's a desperate plan. I don't think there's a lot of sound strategy behind this. You mentioned to me that people are starting to say maybe some of Biden's top advisors, even the stealth president, so to speak, is in a position where he, Ron Klain, should take some of the blame.
I don't think that there is a grand strategic vision motivating Joe Biden right now. I don't think that Joe Biden would be capable, and I think most people listening will agree with us, and I bet you will agree with me, Biden is not capable to sit down and map out a grand strategic game plan. There just isn't that ability with him from a purely functional cognitive perspective right now. Playing chess against Joe Biden would be a destruction. Like, I'm confident my 14-year-old would wipe the board with him if they played a chess match. Like, he's not able to think strategically. But Buck, what you and I have believed is that there is a grand strategic design behind many of the moves that Joe Biden has made, from whatever you want to describe as the Biden regime, and Ron Klain, who is his chief of staff, would be the head of that strategic plan. If that is true, if Joe Biden were cognitively aware of what's going on around him, he would recognize that he has been not only led astray, he's been embarrassed. And I don't know that we talked enough about what a slap in the face Kyrsten Sinema's filibuster speech was last week, and how embarrassing it should be for Biden. He was going to Capitol Hill, Buck, after he made that speech on Tuesday of last week, 8 days ago now, calling everybody who disagreed with him George Wallace, Bull Connor, or Jefferson Davis. He really thought he was putting the screws to the Republican Party. And then, as he is preparing to drive to Capitol Hill and make his "You're with me" speech to the Senate Democratic Caucus, Kyrsten Sinema, Buck, didn't even wait for him to get there and give him the respect to hear his argument, she went on the Senate floor and basically put three gunshots into the idea, tap, 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 of the voting rights bill and changing the filibuster. So that when Joe Biden actually arrived on Capitol Hill, all of his domestic agenda was dead. Thanks to Joe Manchin for Build Back Better, and now thanks to Kyrsten Sinema for the filibuster. And that's a level of disrespect that his own party is putting forth on Joe Biden. That's the kind of disrespect you get, Buck, when you've got a 33% approval rating, according to Quinnipiac. And whoever puts you in that position to fail like that, in my opinion, if you are a real leader, you have to look around for better leadership and advice. Joe Biden's not a real leader. I don't know that he's capable of even picking somebody to be his strategic leader, but they have given him awful advice to govern from the left wing of a party when he barely has a majority at all. And right now it's all blown up in his face, and his own political party is revolting and leading the revolution against him.
I think it's also important that we, and I mean the general we, everyone across the country, not make the mistake of thinking that Democrats right now and that the base of the Democrat Party processes information the way that all the rest of us do. Meaning that as more data comes in, whether it's about masking and vaccine passports or crime or just the realities of the Biden presidency, they're going to shift. The most recent polling on this makes it clear that, yeah, 95% plus of Republicans think Biden's doing a terrible job. But you could say, well, they're Republicans. 80% plus of Democrats think Biden is doing a good job, which is absurd. I mean, this is brainwashing level insanity that you're looking at here. The indicator that has them all so worried is that independents, the people who can be swayed, politically speaking, to vote for or against Joe Biden as a candidate, his support with them, Clay, has gone from roughly in the 60s to the low 30s, dropped in half. So the people who are not emotionally, see, this is the problem with being a Democrat today. They're emotionally and psychologically invested in Joe Biden at the expense of reason, fact, and experience. Because he's not orange man bad, so we should be thankful for Grandpa Joe. That's really the attitude. Independents, who maybe believed because the whole media was telling them, and look, I get it, by the way. You know, you and I live in the matrix of the news cycle. Like, we're plugged into the matrix all day long. I mean, you know, you're and I are always tweeting and going on TV and doing this stuff, even when we're not on radio. For most folks, if the entire media says Joe Biden, he's just going to be a moderate, he's going to be a return to normal, they'll say, all right, well, that doesn't, you know, I'm talking about independents now. That doesn't sound so bad. I mean, maybe I'll give this guy a shot. Those people are already saying, oh, my God, what have we done? What is this guy doing to our country? And that the focus right now in the new year with the clear failure of their COVID policy, we'll talk more about the 400 million N95 masks and all that in a few moments here. But with this clear failure and the things that people care about, the economy, safety on the streets, and inflation, right? These are the things that really get people motivated right now politically across the country. These are top of the heap of concerns. They're doing this whole voting rights thing, and they can't even show us. This whole voting suppression slash racism speech that they constantly give is a figment of their imaginations. This isn't a real thing to people who aren't essentially professional Democrats who are paid to go on TV or paid to be political consultants or run for office. No one actually thinks this is happening, but they're obsessed with it because, Clay, their first order of business isn't the safety of the American people, the American economy. It's how do we, the Democrats and the regime, which is not just Joe Biden, but the people around him, stay in power. And everything else is secondary to that.
What has happened here is, first of all, there's not a single person that can be pointed to in the entire nation by the Democrats and say this person was unable to vote because of existing laws. Not one person. I talked about yesterday, Buck, that I've lived all over the city of Nashville, which is a big city. Inner city neighborhoods, I've gone and vote. Suburban neighborhoods, I've gone to vote. That's emblematic, I think, of many people that are out there listening to us right now. There's no difficulty when it comes to being able to vote. So they're selling, one, a falsehood. Second part here, though, and I think we have to keep hammering this home, even with all of the crazy changes that were made in 2020 because of COVID, absentee ballots, the likes of which we've never seen before, mail-in ballots, the likes of which we've never seen before, altered on their face laws which were not permissible under the existing state laws, emergency ballots, all these different things that occurred in 2020 that have not occurred for the rest of our democracy. The Democrats are panicked because they lost the down ballot votes. Remember, I mean, they lost House seats. But only, Buck, did they win the presidency by 40,000 votes out of 150 million cast. Even with the rig job that was in place, with big tech covering up all the Hunter Biden stories, with the Google rig jobs, with everything that was being given to Joe Biden to beat Donald Trump, 20,000 people in Wisconsin, in Georgia, and Arizona changed their mind, and Donald Trump is the president. That's one NHL arena. That's one NBA arena full of fans out of 150 million plus who supposedly voted, right? That is why they are so panicked, because they know that they're going to get destroyed in 2022, which will take away their majority in the House and probably their majority in the Senate. And then in 2024, Buck, they are looking, I really believe this, the right nominee, the right time, at a red tide that's going to sweep them out to sea.
I honestly was saying this frequently because I don't believe, Clay, that, you know, the job of anybody in media, conservative media talk radio, should just be to always be talking about, you know, fire and brimstone and everything's terrible. I remember telling my audience before we teamed up in 2019, guys, this is about as good as it's going to get anytime soon under the Trump presidency, meaning this is America is prosperous, peaceful. We're kicking butt. Things are amazing. And you and I both agree. If you go into an election in the fall of 2019 instead of the fall of 2020 pre-pandemic, I think it's a walk in the park for Donald Trump. Under normal circumstances, it was an amazing going into the fourth year, obviously, with the pandemic, but an amazing 3 years of just upside for America. All the stuff that we were supposed to be worried about were figments of Democrat imagination. Russia collusion and the rise of the white nationalist threat to the heart of America. All this stuff that they were saying was just media conjured. And then we got hit with a pandemic and they exploited it. And now they realize that there's some real buyer's remorse, voter's remorse, perhaps you could say, from the American people who decided to go along with this. And that's why, folks, they're going to get desperate. Don't think that they're going to say, you know what, we were wrong, they were right. And they're also not going to say that about masks and other things, which I want to get into in a second here, because you see this out of the UK, Clay? Big changes in the UK now. I'm excited to talk about
incredibly
it.
Incredibly significant. And by the way, you do vote with your money every single day. Who and where you choose to spend your money oftentimes ends up being a part of a company's political donations to one candidate or another. They never talk about it or disclose it. You have to look into it yourself. Your cell phone provider and the bill you're paying each month, you might be surprised to see the list of leftist candidates pushing leftist agendas on their list with your money. But there's a solution. It's Pure Talk. Get your cell phone service from Pure Talk. They use the exact same towers, exact same 5G network as one of those companies, but with the peace of mind that you're supporting a veteran-run business with employees all here in the U.S. We're proud customers for that reason alone. Buck, how can you hook people up?
It's so easy. From your cell phone, dial #250 and say Pure Talk. You'll save an additional 50% off your first month. Again, that's dial #250 and just say the words Pure Talk.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Encourage all of you to go subscribe to the podcast. You can go give us 5 stars. You can search us out on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher. I'm not even sure all the different ways that you can listen to this show on podcast. We love all the hundreds of you listening out there on so many different affiliate stations all over the country, but also want to make sure that if you miss anything on the show, you have an opportunity to listen to every bit of the program. And you can do that by subscribing to the podcast today, broken down by hours. You'll enjoy it. So yesterday was 2 days ago, Martin Luther King Day, and there was and continues to be a lot of discussion about his legacy. And I wanted to make sure that we played this clip of Joe Biden several months ago talking about how the death of George Floyd was more significant in its impact than the death of Martin Luther King Jr. Listen to this.
Even Dr. King's assassination did not have the worldwide impact that George Floyd's death did.
Which is crazy to say, Buck, and I think it's a sign of the lunacy in the world in which we live. But in terms of what happened in April of 1968 and what the assassination of Martin Luther King ended up occurring versus what happened with George Floyd's death, the amount of change and the amount of craziness that ensued from George Floyd's death, I'm not sure that Biden is wrong, right? I mean, it's on its face a crazy analogy to make, but in terms of the actual the world spinning out of control, it's wild that you could even make this analogy. You know what I'm saying? Like, the impact of Martin Luther King's life is far more significant than the impact of George Floyd's life. But the way in which they actually died and the immediate response to that death, I think what he's trying to say is a sign of the lunacy and how much things have spiraled out of control, that George Floyd's death was used as a more significant marker than Martin Luther King Jr.'s death.
Well, this is part of the move that you've seen with social media now, which creates instantaneous virtue signaling opportunities for people, including those who are nowhere near the George Floyd incident, don't live in not even Minnesota or America, but live overseas. But anti-racism has become a sort of global religion for a lot of people as well. It's a bit like being, you know, a climate change person who you just always profess how anti-racist you don't have to do anything, right? You just profess, oh my gosh, I oppose racism so much on Facebook or whatever, and your friends all think you're a good person. You don't actually have to take any action or take an unpopular stance. You're doing quite the opposite. And so there was this immediate outcry afterwards, but also there was and the whole Black Lives Matter movement is premised on a lie. And the lie is that there's the systemic murdering of black men in America by law enforcement without consequence. And this is happening regularly, routinely, and is somehow supported in the broader society. That is a vicious and destructive lie, but it's a very emotionally highly resonating one. So when people hear this, it has an impact on them. And that's how you had people in, you know, the UK and Germany and all this. They were marching in favor of George Floyd's, the movement, I should say.
Which we don't even know, Buck. And it's like nobody even has this discussion. We still have yet to prove that there was direct racial animus involved in anything surrounding what happened to George Floyd. Whereas Martin Luther King was killed by James Earl Ray and avowed racist because he was black and of the political beliefs that he had embraced, which is equality in the United States. We don't know still what difference there would have been in the behavior of Chauvin if it had been an Asian person or a Hispanic person or another white person instead of being George Floyd, right? And nobody even is willing to have that discussion.
Precious metals have proven to be a consistent, safe way of protecting the overall value of your savings. Gold, my friends, you need gold these days, given where inflation's going and what's happening to the savings you have. You need the Oxford Gold Group. That's who I get my gold from. You can have real gold delivered to your home or part of your IRA. Call them at 833-404-GOLD and learn how you can have real gold in your IRA and delivered to your door. That's the Oxford Gold Group, 833-404-GOLD, 833-404-G-O-L-D. Welcome back into the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show, coming to you live from quarantine on my end, day two. Got a bit of a
How are you feeling, by the way?
You know, it's for me, I can't speak, it's wimpy COVID. I mean, compared, original COVID was some rough stuff. This COVID
remix
is like,
COVID, not so bad.
Yeah, this is kind of like COVID light, you know what I mean? It's got less flavor, less calories.
I am fortunate in that the first version of COVID I had was not bad either. This was lighter than that one, but it's still, for me, the one that I had in November of 20, my original COVID experience was not bad. And now this one, when I had Omicron last week, also not that significant in the grand scheme of things. So it seems like you're back to, like, if I just listened to you, I would never know right now that you had ever had COVID.
Well, I bring it up just because, as I had said to people, we're going to get into the COVID policies in a second, everybody. Big news out of the UK on this that I think we should, as well as something from Israel you need to hear as well, because unlike us, they have very good, basically real time or near real time data on what's happening. And, you know, you have to wonder, why can't the CDC do this? Well, because the CDC is the DMV with a Stalinist streak. But Clay, you know, if it wasn't, I would have pushed through yesterday. I would have gone to the office. I would have tried to stay away from people a little bit if we were in the pre-COVID era, thinking I've got a cold. That's it. And yet now we're having people run around talking about how, you know, we're going to get into this in a moment. You know, COVID shot 3.0, COVID shot 4.0. I mean, I think I can already see this. New York is going to try to force me in March to get an Omicron shot after having had Omicron less than 60 days before, when they're going to make me try to get a shot for this. I mean, this is the reality of how insane these people are. But, you know, it's also why you have teachers that are taping masks to 5-year-old kids' faces in school. I mean, there's, you know, and Fauci was a person of any honor, courage or integrity. He would give a speech where he's like, stop being crazy, people. Like, this is a serious virus and we got to do some things, but let's not take the, never gives that speech because he doesn't want to upset the executives at CNN or the MSNBC audience, etc. But let me just take us for a moment here, Clay, because it's almost like, I don't know, maybe in the UK they listen to some of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton show. Because here is Boris Johnson. Now, I understand people are going to say, oh, Buck, he's doing this because of his own problem. Yeah, okay, fine. He threw a party and he's politically embattled right now, and so he's trying to shake things up. But the point is, he has announced that they're getting rid of all government mask mandates in the UK, and they're getting rid of it in the next 10 days or so. Listen to this, play 25.
Once regulations lapse, the government will no longer mandate the wearing of face masks anywhere. Mr. Speaker, from tomorrow, we will no longer require face masks in classrooms, and the Department for Education will shortly remove national guidance on their use in communal areas. In the country at large, we will continue to suggest the use of face coverings in enclosed or crowded spaces, particularly when you come into contact with people you don't normally meet, but we will trust the judgment of the British people and no longer criminalise anyone who chooses not to wear one.
Now, what does the CDC in this country that is now trying to get, remember, masks to be upgraded? They're saying cloth masks don't work that well, comma, everyone needs N95 masks. Joe Biden calling for 400 million N95 masks to be distributed to people for free. Clay, Germany did this over a year ago. They said, okay, now it's got to be N95 masks. Do you know what the result? I mean, I know you know what the result was, but yeah. I mean that rhetorically. Didn't do a damn thing.
Of course not. And can we, by the way, everyone in the media keeps saying, oh, everybody can get 4 free tests. Everybody's going to get free N95s. They're not free. We paid for them. Everybody out there who pays taxes, if the government did not suddenly come into a great deal of money that it created, it took our money and it now is using our money to buy tests, which it then is going to send to some people's homes if you request the test. The bigger issue here, other than the fact that it's not actually free, we all paid for it, at least those of us who pay taxes, which, by the way, federal income taxes are only paid by about half of the United States government, by United States citizens. Most people don't ever talk about that, but only about half of people actually pay federal income tax. The rest are getting redistributed funds from the 50% of us that pay. But Buck, this is doubling, tripling, quadrupling down on a failed policy that doesn't work. I feel like we are in Groundhog Day, where we're coming back into March and April and May of 2020, when everybody is suddenly saying, wear masks and test, as if that's going to lead us out of the COVID experience. The vast majority of people out there are not suddenly going to solve their issues in the country by having masks that they have access to in N95s, or by being able to test for whether or not they have COVID. And by the way, the most anxious among us, four tests they're going to go through in the first day that they get them, and then they're going to have to go back out and buy another 20, because testing that you don't have COVID on one day, it doesn't mean that you don't have it on the next day.
Here's to, speaking to this issue. Remember, I mean, how is it, Clay, that in June of 2020, people like you and me are going around saying that Test and Trace, which was an official program in New York City, was a joke? And I knew it was a joke because they kept saying, and I'm being serious, folks, I want you to think about this. The city health authorities in New York were suggesting that Test and Trace for COVID in starting in June of 2020. So meaning they're going to find everyone you've been in contact with an aerosolized virus, track them down and get them to test. And this is how we're going to stop the virus. Their precursor, if you will, or the analogous situation they used was STD tracing.
Yeah.
For which a lot of us said, are you public health authorities a bunch of morons? And of course, the answer to that question was yes. But here is Dr. Jonathan Reiner, who he's probably some, you know, blah, blah, was part of some, I don't know, FDA, CDC or something. He's going on TV, one of these blue check MD types, who's saying that testing is critical for a return to normal. Play 14.
Going forward, yes, I think tests are a critical tool to help us get back to normal. It's how we are going to be able to understand whether that tickle in your throat is just a tickle in your throat or whether it's COVID and whether you need to stay home. It's a tool to allow you to go visit your friends on Saturday night, which is what we and our friends did before we met this past weekend. So I think it's going to be critical to have tested in every home. It would have been wonderful for us to have had this months ago, but here we are, and I'm glad the administration is doing this.
Okay, so just first of all, the kissing up the administration, that's an abject failure on testing, and we all know it is a joke. Yeah, this guy is a CNN medical analyst, professor of surgery at... Clay, I'm sorry to say, I think it's GW. Oh, no.
Well, anyway. GW's gone off the rails for a while.
So is, I mean, so is Amherst. They're overrun with commies, so we got that in common. But here's the point, man. They got to be kidding me. They really think this is going to be a return to normal? We're going to be testing every week?
It's four tests. So even the example he uses, first of all, if you are testing yourself to see whether you can hang out with a friend, you are such a huge loser that you need to actually examine many different aspects of your life, okay? If you feel well enough to hang out with a friend, go hang out with a friend. The idea that you're showing up and swabbing your nostrils and checking to see whether or not you can hang out with a buddy or not, I mean, be a bigger loser. I'm not sure that it's possible. But even if you want to do that, Buck, it's four tests. So if you and your wife are going to hang out with somebody else and their wife, you're using two tests on that one trip, right? And then if you're going to go hang out with somebody else and go watch a movie or go have a beer, that's another test, and then you're done. So are you saying that you need to buy hundreds of tests to be able to determine whether you can go out into the public in any kind of way? Because that's the precedent that he's setting, which is when you do anything social, you need to be testing yourself beforehand. Are you going to test daily? Are you going to have 365 tests stacked up in your house to see whether or not you can go outside? It's madness. It's absolute madness that would be the precedent being put in place for anyone. 2022, by the way, is a year you might say you're done accepting anything less than great. And that can start by throwing away all the old worn out gear in your closet and replacing it with all the great stuff available from Tommy John. You know what needs to be retired or thrown away. What you don't yet know is all the awesome goodness available from Tommy John. When you start wearing Tommy John, you're that much more comfortable, as you can do everything better. Tommy John men's underwear, breathable, lightweight, moisture-wicking fabric, four times the stretch of competing brands. You can get your first pair. You'll never want to wear another one. That's why over 17 million pairs of Tommy John have been sold. Buck, you wear Tommy John loungewear just about every single day. How does everybody out there get hooked up?
I mean, it's amazing. I'm sitting here right now, and I am wearing my Tommy John hoodie. It's in blue. It's quite comfortable. And no scarf today, Clay, because I'm feeling warm enough.
I was going to say, I noticed the scarf was gone.
That's right, because the hoodie keeps me warm and my love of freedom. Get 20% off your first order right now at TommyJohn.com/Buck. That's 20% off. It's a great deal. Look, you're going to love this gear. My whole family is wearing it these days, and they can't get enough of it. 20% off your first order right now of Tommy John at this website, TommyJohn.com/Buck. One more time, TommyJohn.com/Buck for 20% off. See site for details.
Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Going to take a couple of your calls. We get ready to roll into the second hour. People want to weigh in. Let's go to Patty in Ventura, California. What's up, Patty? Thanks for calling.
Hi, guys. Thanks for being there. I heard a comment the other day that was just excellent, I thought, how if it's all supposed to be easy for all of us to go on Google and order those COVID tests and masks or whatever, then why is it so difficult for everyone to go on and register to vote or get an ID?
It's a great point.
Is there a comparison there?
Yeah, it's a great point, Patty. I mean, Buck, it is funny how much faith Democrats have in everyone's ability to go order their, in quotation marks, free masks and or their free tests. But the idea that you could find a way to register to vote is almost impossible, right? I mean, first of all, they're selling such a false bill of goods on the idea that anyone who wants to vote is having difficulty voting in this country. It's not true. And they can't even find someone to be the outlier anecdotal story that they trot out to try to be the person who is unable to vote in this country. Because if you want to vote, it's never been easier to vote. We've never had more people in most of our lives be able to vote. And the entire narrative that they are peddling is a falsehood. But it is interesting what they have faith in people's ability to do, which is figure out how to get masks and test, but you can't figure out how to get registered.
I mean, let's be honest. If voter suppression is the goal here, then the Republicans are really, really bad. The goal, but just notice that you have all-time highs of voter involvement in states where some of these laws are changed. And also, let's all remember, the quote racist voter ID policy the Democrats are always railing against has super majority level support across all race.
Yeah, it is. You were kind of cutting in and out there. I think the Omicron version of the Buck Studio is not 100% flawless so far. But I do think that you're hitting on something that is really pretty significant there, which is the larger context of the argument that is being made today in the Senate is a total lie. And Philip in Duluth, Minnesota wants to weigh in as well on this voting rights discussion. Philip, what you got for us?
So if Manchin and Sinema both hold their positions, like you said, the Democrats are going to get increasingly more desperate. So what's to prevent one of them from pulling Murkowski aside and saying, look, Lisa, everyone knows you're not going to get reelected. Here's the deal. You give us your vote on this one-time filibuster exemption. You, your kids, your grandkids, you're going to be taken care of for life. You can do the Fauci TV tour. The media is going to herald you as a maverick like John McCain. And you're not going to have anything to worry about for the rest of your life. I mean, what does she have to lose?
Well, it's an interesting point, and there has been the argument, Buck, that the Democrats should stop trying to get Sinema and Manchin, and they should try to flip a couple of Republicans. So, first of all, Murkowski is one vote, so that would still leave them one vote shy of the votes that they need in order to change the filibuster rules. And I just don't think there are two Republicans out there. And by the way, this also presumes that all of the other Democrats are going to be willing to vote in favor of changing the filibuster rules too, which I don't know is necessarily true. You got a big red state in Montana with a senator there that seems a bit wobbly on this idea. Jean Shaheen in New Hampshire, for people up there who are listening, she's going to be in a tough re-election battle. Mark Kelly in Arizona just came out and said he supports the idea, but he's in a tough re-election battle. I think there are a lot of Democrats, when you really look at the overall math here, that are not that excited about being put on the record. And they actually favor Sinema and Manchin taking this heat because then it takes the pressure off of them. You buy into the idea of any Republicans being soft enough on the idea of the filibuster change that they could be flipped if you can't get Manchin and Sinema?
No, I don't think so. And here's why. They all know that we're not far away from a likely Republican majority in the Senate. And everybody right now who is making the argument, who's a Democrat, the filibuster is a relic of Jim Crow and all these things that they're saying. You know, it's a relic of the worst parts of our past. Ahistorical, but put that aside for a moment. Those same people, in the case of Chuck Schumer and others, were saying the filibuster is necessary for the Senate, important part of the institution, and will be saying it again starting, around January of next year. And they will be completely without shame because they are shameless. And so any Republican that would even consider going along with this is begging for the end of his or her political career. And I don't really see that happening. I mean, let's remember, I think Sinema more than anything else, and same thing with Manchin, yeah, they're standing on principle at some level. They're also standing on their own reelection, right? This is good for them in the states that they're in, right? Arizona and clearly West Virginia. It's kind of amazing you even have a Democrat senator in West Virginia, given the Republican majority that's there by voters. And so I think that the self-interest component of it, Clay, I'm a big believer and understand the incentives and you understand the outcome. The self-interest component for all here aligns with this is just much ado about nothing from the Democrats who are flailing and have really nothing else to offer the American people right now. What are they going to say? Our COVID response is so effective.
Speaking of the COVID response, Lester in Hickory, North Carolina, what you got?
Hey, guys. Great show. Long-time listener since Rush was there, and glad you guys are taking it on. My question is there any information on people getting tested day after day after day and showing multiple negative tests and skewing the results of what's actually out there for the number of cases?
I think it's a smart point, Lester. And yes, the numbers that we are getting are skewed. They're not only skewed because some people might be testing positive multiple times and be counted that way, but also because a huge number of people out there, everybody who tests positive on these home tests, they're not going to show up by and large in the overall test positivity rates because the government never gets it. When we come back, we're going to dive into this voting rights bill and more. This is the Clay and Buck Show.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.